Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey guys, this is Braden Sansang. Welcome to The Porch Talk. This is my song, Goodbye.
Just goes a long way until you break it. Talk about empty promises. I learned my lesson from you. My heart hurts from this disgrace. I'm tired of the pain that you bring. Those heartless everything I loved left me without a second doubt. Goodbye, goodbye. I said goodbye, goodbye. Those thoughtless nights were full of lies. I tried and I tried, but you left me deprived. Goodbye, goodbye. I said goodbye, goodbye.
Nice. As Braden has told you, welcome you to Porch Talk. This is your host, Alan. I got Braden Sansang here with me, and we are meeting here at the arena. So, Braden, I wanted to start. Who are you? Where are you from?
My name is Braden Sansang. I'm from originally from Greenville, Mississippi, but I moved to Columbus when I was about three. So I kind of grew up in Columbus, Mississippi. And, you know, I started music when I was young. Started with piano, started with just that, and I ended up quitting piano for a while and joined football, and now I'm kind of getting back. I got back into the music thing towards high school, and now I'm trying to do it as a career.
Gotcha, man. So came down from Memphis,
you said? Greenville, Mississippi.
Greenville, Mississippi. What do you remember about Greenville?
A lot of crime, and I do remember one thing. It's like a root beer. They make their own root beer at the restaurant, and they have like a pizza.
Yeah,
they sell pizza, but it was like the best root beer you ever had. It's like a childhood memory of mine, just like of them making the root beer there, and you know,
good so, root beer.
Yeah, it was good. They and had then, like a huge mug in the front of the restaurant. It was like a big root beer mug. It was like my favorite thing as a kid.
So they wasn't selling mugs or bars. They were doing it their own.
Yeah.
Nice, man. And so what brought the family here to Columbus? Jobs or work?
Yeah, like I said, there was a lot of crime down there. It's a bad place to raise a kid, you know.
I got you.
So they just wanted to move down here. Plus, my dad, you know, started a forestry job himself, so he moved down here to start something new. You know?
Oh, nice. So what about high school? Like, where would you go to school?
New Hope High School.
Went to New Hope? Yeah. So you started playing foosball with your friends,
foosball,
huh?
Yeah, I love football. I don't know, like, necessarily about, like, the strategic stuff, but I like hitting people without the consequences.
had a little anger you needed to take out.
Yeah, I had, started football around Pee-wee, which was, like, fifth grade, and I did that, and then I went to show choir. I started doing show choir in, like, middle school. That's when it started. And
they offered that at New Hope?
Yeah, and, like, the weird thing is, like, they didn't offer both at the same time, right? So I had to, like, I used to have, like, go to show choir during the day and then do football after school. I wouldn't be able to have the class of football, but I would still be able to. I was, like, the center back then. I probably would be able to be a center now just because I'm small. But, yeah, and, like, the principals were nice. You know, the football coaches were really nice enough to let me do show choir and football and let me figure that out so I could do both, you know.
What did that look like as far as, like, teammates? Were they giving you crap about being in show choir?
At first, yeah. Yeah. Before I joined football, yeah, they definitely were. And then I joined, and I was like, I got a little bit more respect, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird for me, dude. I grew up playing baseball. I went to school at South Lamar.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And played, you know, part ball all the way up to 12. I skipped 13, 14. Then I would try out for South Lamar baseball team. First year, I didn't make the cut.
Okay.
And I'd go back out, I think the following. No, it was, I took a year off, and I went back out my ninth grade year, and I made it. And I played on the team for 2 years. And then I quit for music.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing music when I was 15. I started playing guitar.
That's good.
Ended up being a great friend of mine. But it was my brother's friend, Sid. He played the talent show, and he was playing like some CCR, Proud Mary.
Mm-hmm.
And it blew my hair back, man. I was like, I knew from that moment that I wanted to play guitar. And so, like, what are you said you started on piano, and then you got into football. So
is that I started on piano. My younger years, you know, most people when they're either young, they either do soccer or piano, or both. And I ended up not liking it, which I like it now just because I like music now, but just because I didn't like the teachers.
Would it be like you were classically trained?
No. I mean, I knew how to read notes. I don't really know how to do it anymore. But I'm more of an ear. I more play by ear. I do know how to read like Nashville numbers sometimes. It depends on the song and what key it is. But I'm not necessarily classically trained. But, yeah, I liked one of my teachers, and she was like the pastor's wife. But then we moved to the other one. I just don't like being, I like playing by ear. I don't like reading stuff. So that was like my drawback why I didn't like it. So then I quit. And then towards fifth grade, I joined football. And then,
mm-hmm. Yeah. What got you, and what do you say got you back into music?
Def Leppard. My dad's like a big, big nice 80s fan, right? So we went to a Def
Hair
Leppard.
Metal did it for you.
Yeah.
That is a rarity here. Now, like, you are like one of the younger guests that we've had on the show, but that's very interesting.
I love 80s, man. 80s guitar, 80s anything, really. But yeah, we went to a Def Leppard concert. I actually went there as a drummer, right? I was a drummer before, you know, just dabbling into it.
Is that your primary? Like,
my primary is I like guitar the best. But most bands I'm in, I play drums just because people need a drummer. But
they're hard to come by.
Yeah.
Especially a good one.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
But I went to the concert as a drummer. This is kind of a funny story. And Def Leppard, they did their first song, Let's Go, right? And like there was a big curtain and it dropped. Mm-hmm. And you just hear, it was like loud as everything. Like I said, I went there as a drummer, left as a guitarist. Once I saw Phil Collin playing live,
yeah,
I was like, dude, I don't want to play drums anymore, which I do play drums, but like I like guitar. Guitar is like the thing I want to do, you know.
Yeah.
And that kind of drove my career farther.
You know, like respect on that. I've owned 3 drum kits in my life, and
okay,
I'm still not proficient at it. Like most of those drum kits were like given to old bandmates that play drums, and I was like, here,
yeah,
you know, use this as a practice kit, that way you got one at the house and then you got one you can keep on the road,
yeah,
or whatever,
yeah,
you know. But like I never could like get my feet and my hands to not work on the same page.
Yeah, it's kind of gets weird sometimes, like with different grooves.
Yeah. Like, it's hard to, But I mean, like the older I get, and like the more I get, I guess, used to music, I can carry a very simple beat.
Yeah, yeah.
And that is about as far as it should go.
Yeah. And I wouldn't say I'm like proficient at drums. It's just I've worked with people that are very willing to like, they're very patient with me. So like, I'm not like, I'm more of a rock drummer. And I work with this artist called Mississippi Mason. You met him the other night, I think, at the open mic night. But
before that, he opened up for a friend of mine, Adam Hood.
Adam Hood, yeah. At the Art Council. On the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I played drums with Mason, and I'm, like I said, I'm a rock drummer. And like, he's really helped me kind of, hey, I want this. I like that sound, you know. And he's very patient with me. And that's what I like when I work with him and other artists. Is I wouldn't say, like I said, I'm a good drummer, but those people bring the good out of me, you know.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. I understand that. So graduating high school, what was on your mind as far as what you were going to do with your life? You would go to college, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to go to East for like 2 years, get my East Mississippi College, I think that's what you call it, and get my basics, and then go to the DMI program, which is at Delta State, and there's like amazing teachers there, very amazing people, and especially a big family over there, very nice people.
What was you wanting to study? What is the DMI program?
It's Delta Music Institute. So it's like just music, anything music. They do like business. You can go there for the business side of music. You can go there for audio engineering. Or I think there's like an artist. Like if you wanted to be an artist, you would like go through a certain route, you know?
Yeah.
And they get you in contact with a lot of people. And like Mason went there, Mississippi Mason went there.
Okay.
And so, yeah, he's very smart with music. And yeah, the DMI program really helped him.
Yeah, it never really worked out for me. I went to University of Mobile, and my minor was in music, and they have a phenomenal music program. I would sing in the choir for 2 years, I think, while I was there, and I failed Theory 2 Lab. I couldn't sight sing.
Yeah, I can't.
And like so, with your lab test, you were sitting in the professor's office, and you were having to just look at notes and make the sound.
Like with your voice,
yeah, and you're not tapping a piano. And be like, there's the first note, now do the rest. No, it was just give me an E flat and then go through it.
Yeah,
I could not do it, and you know we were having a heart to heart about it, and he was like, I think it's in your best interest if you drop music as a minor and you probably just get out of the program.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, You don't got this part. And he's like, it's not because you can't. It's because you're not putting the work in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't have a keyboard at home.
Yeah.
And I can't just, I don't know. There's a difference between like keyboard and when it comes to guitar for me as far as like finding that note.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier to find it if you got a piano and you can hit it.
Yeah, than, everything's kind of like laying out.
Yeah. Know? Rather than trying to find it on the guitar and then try to mimic it with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
But those classes were, looking back now, it totally changed everything musically for me. Still not very good with, like, I get theory, I know scales and things of that nature, how things work. It's about as far as it goes, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But, man, it was, I had a lot of fun in that music program, and those classes, they really helped me as far as like where I'm at now with music and the things that I do.
Yeah, yeah. And the good thing about today and the technology is YouTube. You can just look it up on YouTube. It's so much easier. You don't even have to. Well, it's good to get training. Sometimes you have to pay for training,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes you might want to take a class at a college, you know. But it's a lot of stuff is found on YouTube.
Yeah,
like you just got to find the right people that don't lie to your face, you know. But nowadays, like a lot of stuff's just on YouTube. Like you just look it up on YouTube or look it up online. Like I said, pay for courses if they're trustworthy enough, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about today's age is.
And I want to back it up to the Def Leppard concert. So you left there knowing that you wanted to play guitar. So was it like, Dad, I need a guitar?
Well, my dad also played guitar.
Oh, nice.
So he was in a Christian band in Greenville. They toured around a little bit. I don't really remember where all they toured, but and they like did a lot of stuff around Macon and, you know. I think there's like a camp over there in Macon, I don't remember. And so he had a guitar there. We actually had two guitars, and my sister had an acoustic, I think. And two electrics, one acoustic. And so, yeah, we already had one. So I had dabbled with it, I think, before, but I really didn't, like, I wasn't inspired, you know, as much as I was after that Def Leppard concert. But, yeah. Yeah, so, like, he already had guitars there, and, like, okay. I was like, yeah, I really...
So you got back, and Dad was teaching you how to rock, huh?
He didn't teach me that much.
Nothing?
He taught me, I think, I remember a couple of things he taught me was, like, what's that song? If I sing a song that's not, is it going to get copyrighted or anything? Or,
no, okay.
What's that song? It goes like, change in my pocket, going ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Oh, yeah. So, I don't know the tune. I don't know the name of it.
But it's like very simple guitar. I learned that first, and then my dad taught me that. And then he taught me a pinch harmonic, like how to do that on electric. I think that's almost as far as we used to play together. So I'm like, just he would teach me some stuff, like power chords and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But he really didn't go in depth with me just because I'm pretty sure he would get frustrated with me. but yeah.
And as far as like your trajectory with the college education, how far would you make it with your plan?
Say that again, I'm sorry.
It's like far with like college, like you said you wanted to go to EMCC and then go to Delta.
Yeah.
How did it pan out for you?
Yeah, so like I went to, funny story, I went to East for 2 months, right? I was like, I do not like this. I was already failing all my classes because I couldn't bring myself to like, you know, I just didn't feel like it was worth it, you know? I feel like I was wasting time. I didn't feel right, you know? I didn't feel like God was leading me in this direction, you know? So I didn't put any work in to it. This is the funny part. So I went on a cruise. It was halfway funny. It's kind of sad. But I went on a cruise, and it was like the Carnival Valor. It was like around middle of February. And it ended up, this lady ended up jumping off. That's the sad part. But the funny part is I never came back to college, so I'm pretty sure half of my teachers think I'm dead because they just heard, like, somebody jumped off a ship, and they knew I was on a cruise.
Uh-huh.
So I never saw them after that again.
Hopefully it wasn't Braden.
Yeah. So, like I said, I've never seen any of them since then. So I'm pretty sure they probably think I'm dead. That's the funny part. But yeah.
And that was the end of college for you?
Yeah, I was in the college. I was like, I don't like this. I was like, Mom, I just got to do this. So I figured I had this plan. I remember I was in the car with my mom, had this plan. Dude, what if I started this like big place? And it was like, there's guitar teaching. There's like a bunch of rooms to practice in. There's like studios, a big, huge like arena of things, right? And that's what made me want to start the Arena Studios, which is the business I have now, the business I started after I quit college, which is a studio production company. We teach lessons. We do artist development, stuff like that. We do concerts. So, after college, I was like, you know, I might as well just get another job. Right now, it's doing pressure washing. And then use that pressure washing money to fund my business and then grow that business. And then when their business is growing enough, just quit pressure washing and just focus on the business.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like my plan coming out of college. That was that.
Right on, man. So as far as, and you can share as much as you'd like, but as young as you are, like, I mean, getting ready to operate and run a business. I mean, where did
scary, dude?
Yeah, I mean, how did it come about? Like, I got to get this LLC or like.
Yeah, so it started out with just like I didn't have an LLC or anything. I just started. I have a friend named Josh Gillis. He's a very, very dear friend of mine. Helped me a lot. I started out in my room, just recording myself, and then I was learning things. You know, this was before I quit college, but learning things, and then. I moved to a pool house that we fixed up to look like a studio that Josh Gillis taught guitar lessons at.
Uh-huh.
And him and my family have been very supportive of me, like going through this journey. They've been helping me through it, showing me how to file taxes, showing me how to make an LLC. And also David Martin, which is the dude I do pressure washing with. He's like one of my dear friends too, because the business mindset he has too is very influential to me, because like it's helped me a lot through making all this business stuff, because I had no idea what I was doing. I needed people, and they were there for me. So that was kind of how it was scary at first, but now I kind of feel like people are supportive, you know. That's I feel like that's the only reason I am where I am right now, is because of Josh Gillis, David Martin, and my family, you know.
Yeah, shout out to Josh Gillis.
Yeah.
We recently connected on social media, and I would 100% say it's because of you and probably Mason. But I keep hearing his name coming up in conversations just about the impact that he's had on.
Yeah, he's also like, I would say, a spiritual leader of mine. He was so, the funny thing is, I met him at church, and I used to work at a church as an intern, and I used to call him Mr. Josh. I don't call him Mr. Josh anymore because I was young, and he was like the head of like the youth for a second there, and now we're like working together. It's so weird just looking back at that, and like you said about Mississippi Mason, he's also one of those people that he was my mentor for a little while before I quit college. I was going to go to the DMI, and he was at the DMI, so there's this program where you can mentor somebody that's about to go into the DMI, and he's I feel like, if it wasn't for Mason, I would not have my first song "Goodbye" out. I wouldn't be where I am, like I said today, but from him, you know, because like he's shown me how to write songs. You know, he's shown me how to get gigs and stuff. He's helped me a lot. So,
and with your song "Goodbye," would that be produced right here in the arena?
It was in my room on my iPhone. So nice. I started on an iPhone. My first two songs, "Goodbye" and "On
and
My
that's
Knees."
Available on Spotify.
Yeah, available on Spotify. Braden Sansing. On Spotify, iTunes, anywhere. But yeah, the first two songs, "Goodbye" and "On My Knees," were recorded on my phone. Yeah. I was like, I'm never gonna post these. I don't like these songs. So then,
say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You know, like I said, Mason influenced me, and I was like, you know, I want to really do this. I want to get serious about this, because I really started enjoying being on stage, enjoying, like, you know, just writing stuff, and it's the journey that music takes you through. So, yeah, that was recorded on. I started on an iPhone in my room, and then now I'm at a 7th Street Center. It's called now. Where it used to be First Baptist Church, that's where I am now, where my studio is now. But
yeah, and quite a bit of equipment around here.
Yeah,
it's grown
acoustics,
a little bit.
All these acoustics are Josh's, and most of the electrics are mine, and the drum set's mine. But we kind of like put our instruments together to.
And I will plug this again at the end, but I wanted to go ahead and plug it now while we're on it. But if anyone wanted to get in contact with you and the services that the arena offers, what's the best way to do that?
So it's like the, like website wise, it's the-arena-studios.com. That's going to be my website. And also you can find me on Instagram. On Facebook, it's just The Arena. And on Instagram, it's The Arena Studios. And you can reach me, you can DM me, you can, you know, just contact me through social media or my website.
So just a little bit more about the services provided. Y'all teach music. Y'all are able to record music. And also, it's a venue, so y'all can book a show.
Yeah, we book shows. I'm going to do, hopefully, one around April, so stay tuned for that, towards the end of April. I don't remember which date, but I'm trying to get somebody good there. Still trying to find all the artists. But, yeah, we do that. We do artist development. which is kind of like taking you, helping you write your first song, helping you record your first song. We even teach like how to mix and master if you want to know that, you know. We're kind of like a, try to be a multi-tool, just a resource for people to come and know that they could trust us to, or if they don't like what we offer, we'll lead you to somewhere else, somebody else, you know. We want to kind of inspire people. And my logo is like, we take your music from the songbooks to the arenas. So that's why it's called The Arena Studios. And that's like basically my mission is to take your music from the songbooks to the arenas and basically be a family and do that together and grow together in music.
Right on, man. Very well put. And so who all is staffed here at the arena? Who's all part of it?
Right now it's just me and Josh Gillis. He does the lessons mainly. And I mainly do the studio stuff. But I kind of, he has his own like business, like Josh Gillis Guitar Lessons, I think that's what it's called. And I just, we just kind of work together on that. So like if he has electric students that want to play electric, he gives them to me because I play more electric than an acoustic, and he does the acoustic. Or if somebody contacts him for about drums, we'll teach drums, you know. So yeah, it's just me and Josh right now. And there's also the theater group that meets here, Garrett Torbert, and then a piano teacher, Kaya.
Right on.
But they're not employed by me. They're just like, you know, we're kind of like, you know, together on this, trying to grow together.
And so recently, as far as a new endeavor for you, not only are you pressure washing and trying to host the arena, but you're also in the gutter business.
Yeah, I just started a gutter business last week. I think I posted.
This guy is just all over the place.
Yeah, I'm trying not to be, but sometimes you have to be to make money.
Yeah.
But yeah, the pressure washing has been a little slow lately. So I was like, let's just start a gutter business. Like, people need their gutters cleaned. It's easy to do sometimes, unless they have pine trees going out of their gutters. So I was like, I started last week, and my aunt, Aunt Olivia, was nice enough to call me. And then I had another quote already. I'm like, it's good, you know.
Yeah, right.
Just trying to, since I own the business, I get more money than being paid hourly for pressure washing.
Yeah. And, makes sense. And yeah. So with where you are now, I know I've given lessons. You say you got your next show coming up in April. Where do you want to see yourself in a year? If you could,
in a year,
yeah. If you could kind of point that out, where do you want the arena to be?
So I want the arena to have more people. You know, right now it's like kind of slow. We're a studio in Columbus. There's a lot of musicians, but there's not a lot of music influence in Columbus. You know. If that makes sense.
I totally agree with that.
Like, it's hard to build a music place here, you know what I mean? Just because, like, a lot of people not necessarily don't support it, but are just, like, kind of weary of it. Because, you know, it's different, you know?
It has changed. I've been in and out of this scene for, man, almost 20 years. I've probably closer to 15, but we've had a lot of great bands. We've had a lot of great musicians over the years. We still do. Mm-hmm. At times, they are the heartbeat and the voice of the music scene. And then it just kind of ebbs and flows to a point to where there seems to be no direction or leadership for what we're doing. And I'm really happy about the opportunity that we have for aspiring or musicians who just want to get with other musicians and share their ideas with the open mic that we're hosting now at Munson's. And I was so happy to see y'all out. That meant a lot to me with just having the young cats out, man. And, you know, I'm kind of in the middle of the pack, but we had three generations there. You know, we had like a younger kind of in the middle, and then we had the older generation.
Yeah.
And that was really good. I was inspired by just all the skin we had in the game from all kind of different generations.
Yeah, and were like every single person that came was good, you know.
Yeah,
like it was just, it totally blew me away. Like I said, like there's not much music influence here, but like you look at what happened the other night. There's so many musicians. They just, like you were talking about wanting in a year what I kind of want for the studio. I kind of want, like you said, more influence here. I want to build. Make Columbus more of a music city. Make those people come out of the woods and know that they're wanted here, you know, and, like, grow a music scene here, you know?
Yeah, that's a big part of I'm moving Porch Fest from Kennedy, Alabama, to here.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, that's a big part of it. One, I live here now, and two, I really believe in this city. And I know the musicians who are here. And
yeah, there's a lot of potential.
They're great. And not only that, I'm going to also bring in outside talent from all over the place to come in here. And so we have an inside stage and an outside stage. And mainly the people that we'll put on, like the headliners and the lineup, they'll be playing outside. But also on the inside of Munson's is I want to see local talent come cut your teeth. And it'll be between sets with the outside, so people can kind of migrate and move around. And it'll be great to kind of see not only what Porch Fest delivered as far as national talent, but what we got cooking here in town.
Yeah, and Ron Munson's doing a really, really good job with that. And I really like what they did with the inside stage, how it's like a seat.
Yeah.
But it's like a couch, but it's weird. It's like a L couch.
Yeah.
And it's just a vibe in there. Like, I just enjoy the vibe in there. Like,
yeah, that's good to be a brother, man. It's good to be a brother. I'm telling you, I've been involved with those guys for almost as long as this podcast has been going. I think he was on like episode 27 or something like that.
Okay.
And me and him have been kicking it ever since, you know, and trying to help each other as, you know, best we can along the way.
Yeah, and he's helped me a lot, like. When I put that event on December 3rd, it was December 3rd, I kind of, like, asked him, you know, he kind of gave me a lot of ideas. And that's actually the day that I talked to him about that, he called you.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, hey, you know, can I give you his number and stuff like that? And that's how we got contacted, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's helped me a lot. Like, he helped me, show me some advice on what to do for the concert and, like, just ideas that we could use.
Fairly successful from what I've seen, too. So your first show here was Mississippi Mason, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was Ethan Oswald opened up for Mississippi Mason, and we had a special guest, Thomas Sanders, come. Thomas Sanders is basically the best, the next Jerry Lee Lewis.
Okay.
So he was so good. I'll just show y'all some videos later of him, like, kicking a chair over as he's playing piano. Starts playing with his
just
foot.
Really getting into
he's
it.
He's just crazy, dude. So good. Lives in Natchez, I think, right now.
But. Right on, dude. I like that, how you the next Jerry Lee Lewis. It's comments that I hear a lot, and I'm really inspired by people like you, younger generation coming up. It gives me a lot of hope, not only just for the local scene, but for the music that we have coming just here in America as a whole. You'll hear the older generation complain about, typically they're complaining about the music that's on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think a lot of people have a good idea of just how music is shared and how music exposure works now with the advent of, you know, things like streaming services such as Spotify.
It's so easy now.
And how your favorite artist could be from the next town over, you know?
Yeah, it's like super easy.
But he's not on your radio, and no one really knows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, but I've got a lot of faith with the guys that you're running with now. I mean, hopefully I'll have Mason on soon. I'm very happy for him. He, you know, recently got signed on that label, and I'm really happy about what y'all have going on here. And I've seen some of the students that Josh Gillis has had, and Mason happens to be one of them. And so obviously Josh knows what he's doing, you know.
Mm.
And so it's just really good to see this young generation standing up and just being from this area. It's like, hey, we got some killers coming up.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, like, never do anything by yourself. Like, when you're going to do something, get people with you. Because if it's just you, you're just going to learn from your mistakes. But if you have other people as a team, like what I do with Mississippi Mason, Ethan, Oswald, and all them, you're going to succeed better because everybody's learning from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a really good thing to have, and I'm really glad I have that. Like,
how does it work for y'all most of the time if y'all are not, like, booked and playing shows? Is this, like, y'all getting together with friends around campfires? Because I kind of get that, like, campfire vibe from y'all guys. Like, y'all sitting around and...
We hang out.
Yeah. Hang out and y'all jamming. Yeah.
Yeah. Me and Ethan come here a lot. Like, sometimes we pull all-nighters here, like, and we write like crazy. Like, I can't tell you how many songs that we've... Like, one time we got stuck in a storm, which was that song he played, the original, Hell of a Weekend. That was actually written in the bathroom because we got stuck in a storm here. It was like a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And we were stuck in the bathroom because, you know, no windows and everything. And we finished writing that song, like, in the bathroom. I just think that's the funniest story. But, yeah, we just hang out. Like, come in here, jam. Just anything. Like, anytime we just call, hey, you want to come to the studio? Yeah, let's just go jam or something, you know,
yeah.
Or write or, you know,
anything. Let's take the song that you opened up for as a point of reference. How was that song inspired? What? How did you write that?
That's a long story.
Well, I mean, we got time here, man.
Yeah. So I went on a mission trip with some friends, and it just ended up a lot of drama, you know. And, I ended up, this is my part of the story, like, I ended up, you know, kind of dropping them for a while because I was really hurt by them, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was the song Goodbye was basically my song that kind of kept me going during that, was me saying goodbye to them. Mm-hmm. Of course, we're fine now. Like, we've talked about it. At least a couple of us has. One of them still haven't. But that song was really just me trying to heal from that moment of, like, feeling just abandoned by my friends, you know. But like I said, we're fine now. We still hang out.
Like, is that where you find most of your songwriting ideas coming from? Is just, like, previous stories, disappointments, or
yeah.
moments like that?
Yeah, it's like a lot of my songs are depressing, to be honest.
Mine,
like,
too.
Yeah. Like, and I don't mean to be like that. It's just the songs that come out of, like, where I am in life right now. Mm-hmm. It's like of the past stuff. And I try not to, like, you know, Taylor Swift anybody or Swift anybody, you know, like, say their names, you know, like, make people know that was them that made that mistake. Because, you know, I forget, we're like past that now, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Like, when I ask, like, was that song about me? No, it was about the situation. It wasn't about you.
Yeah.
Nothing about you.
You know, that's really tough. And I have friends, you know, put out their first, you know, EP or CD or whatever that looks like. Maybe it's their first song that they release on a streaming service. And it is, without a doubt, a very brave thing to do because, personally, I know them. And it's a real personal song. And, you know, it could be about a really dark time in their life. I mean, it could be a bad relationship. Maybe there was some sexual abuse or, you know, literally like some of the worst things that you could think of. And it's their best song.
Yeah.
There's so much power and emotion and feeling in it. But it's almost as like someone has their thumb on it to where, like, they don't have the power to release it because they're scared of what people are going to think. But when they finally release it, like, they don't find any of that negativity that they thought was going to be there. It's all just open arms, embrace, and be like, man, thank you so much. And, like, who knows how, man, someone might feel the same way.
Yeah,
they can totally relate to it.
That's what music does. It really gives us hope. Even though, like I said, some of my songs are depressing, but at the same time, It has something that you can hold on to, like Goodbye was something I definitely held on to. I remember one night we were, it was like the same friends, we were in youth group, you're hanging out, and like, I don't know, I started feeling like farther and farther away from them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was after everything happened, and this while I was trying to like get away from them for a while, and I remember driving away, like we were at somebody's house, driving away, just parking. And just listening to that song over and over, like it was just hard, you know. It was just that song gave me hope, and that's what music does. That's why it's hard to put yourself out there, especially when it's about bad situations, just because you're afraid of what people will think. You're afraid of the backlash that the people that it's about might say about you. You know, it's a lot of fear. And then, like we were talking about the arena, that's kind of what I want to help with. Like, I know this song was hard for you to write. I know it, but like, people need to hear this.
Oh, first song, like, I ever wrote, dude, it's called Fractured, Light, and Discolored.
Mm-hmm.
Say ex-girlfriend. You know, and like the day that she broke up with me, I wrote that song an hour later. And then I called my friend, like, come over here, man. Hold the phone for me and like record this. Popped it up on YouTube. And I don't have a big YouTube following, but I mean, the video had a lot of views compared to the following count.
Yeah.
And it was hard to put myself out there like that, because I mean, like, totally putting her on blast without, you know, calling her by name or putting her on blast.
But, yeah, yeah.
One of the most rewarding things I've ever done. And because of that first song, I was like, oh, that's how you write a song. Well, I can totally do this again.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like you said, you know, Taylor Swift is like, how many bad relationships can I get in before we have an album?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I definitely don't want to go that route. But
I don't like defaming people's name because, like, people make mistakes. Like, you know, you just got to forgive them.
Like, yeah, I try to, like, craft the words to where, you know, definitely not going to name drop or, like, even give a location or a memory to it, but just try to be broad enough to where, if you know, you know.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. I've got three more questions to walk it out the door, unless there was anything else that you wanted to add about the arena.
Not right now.
Right on. So, question number one of to walk it out the door is plug the social medias you already have. I wanted to plug it again here at the end. So, how can people get in touch with you and what you're doing?
All right, so I do like my own music too, so that would be Braden Sansang on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok.
Been very active today on the YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dude, I posted like four videos, I think it was today.
I watched them, man.
I appreciate it. I was trying to do that because I wanted some videos for when I try out to do a gig so they can watch, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I blew your phone up.
No, dude, like... I'm subscribed to the channel, and I got the notification. I was like, let's see what he's up to.
Yeah, I appreciate you for listening, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, and the arena is just The Arena on Facebook and The Arena Studios on Instagram and YouTube. And then my website is the-arena-studios.com. So,
question two, it's kind of a two-parter because, like, of The Arena will be helping Porch Talk with Porch Fest coming here April 14th and 15th. I'm very happy. Have you on board with that, and I mean, I think it's the same with like you and Josh working together, or you know, you and me working together. Is like, I've got some tools at my disposal, and you have tools at your disposal, and it's like we put them together.
Yeah,
who knows what could happen? So, but like, just to back to the arena. I know you said you had a show open for April. We've talked a little bit about where you want to be in a year. Of what is of. Maybe for the parents out there who have children who might be interested, I mean, what age do you recommend as far as getting people in here ready to learn? Like 4, 5? What do you say?
Any age that they're interested.
Okay.
Because you know, I know back when I wasn't interested in piano, I didn't want to learn it.
Yeah.
But I want people that want to be there. Of course, there's going to be some people that... You know, their parents want them to do it. You're trying to, because sometimes that's what it takes to get people interested too.
Mm-hmm.
But I really, any age, as long as like, you know, you're interested and you want to learn, you know, because I want to build a community that of people that want to grow together and have that community mindset and just that are able to help each other, you know, and are willing to help each other. Mm-hmm. I don't want some selfish people that doesn't want to help anybody. They just want everything for themselves, you know. I want a community of loving people, you know, that want to help each other.
And question three to walk it out the door. Put you on the spot.
I got you.
What was your favorite part of this conversation?
Just sharing my story about the goodbye song.
Right on, man. Well, cool. Well, Braden, thank you so much.
Yeah, man.
And we're out of here.
A lot of fun.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.